So the second thing that I want to share is this idea that all through Scripture and all through human history, people have been aware of the progressions of human development. The Scripture is full of acknowledgments of stages of maturity. And by the way, it goes back and forth between the stages of just everyday biological maturity and applying those to being sons and daughters of God. So to give one example, in 1 John, he says, I write this to you children, little children, that, and he goes on. And he says, I write this to you young men. And then he addresses the third group. I write this to you old men. Right? There's this recognition in any given body, you have, we might say, new believers, you know, teenage believers and adult believers. All right? And so all through Scripture, there's this notion of development and acknowledging the development and cooperating with it. I referred to this in the first teaching that the Bible depicts God as a father of Israel, bringing Israel through babyhood all the way to mature adulthood. And of course, the ultimate son of God is the son of God. But you also need to realize that Israel in its history was the son of God, and God was bringing them through stages. And the point is simply, you don't give a baby steak. You don't give a baby matches and tell them to go start a fire. All right? Nor do you give an adult son baby food. Right? And I think sometimes we don't tune in as much to, there's this whole arc that we've got to cooperate with from beginning to end, and be aware of where we are in the stages and relate to those stages. In the book of Galatians in 3 and 4, God speaks of Israel in those stages, right? He says, well, there was this one stage when Israel was under the law. And the law was a pedagogue. A law was a tutor you hired, and it was like a tutor slash babysitter that you hired, right? They kept your kids out of trouble. And they kept your kids from being harmed by others. But that is not your ultimate goal. Your ultimate goal is for that kid to be shoulder to shoulder with you in your purposes, and then to go on and carry on greater purposes. And so in Galatians, Paul speaks in terms of the law playing that role of the pedagogue, of the, and there's the pedo word, right? It's the person who's there to protect and guard those children until they mature. So I want to address where we see this pattern in Scripture. So let me just mention three stages that I think we see in Scripture, and I think they map pretty well onto parenting and our kids. But before I say any of that, the first stage is, I want to read this from Mark. This was in the reading this past week, but I want to read it again. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. Now, this is a very, very strong emotional word, indignant. This is one of the strongest words you can have. This is a kind of a very strong righteous anger, right? I mean, imagine hearing that your kids do something that you know they knew better. And the feeling you get, it's a right feeling of righteous anger. I'm not saying Jesus lost his temper, but he was deeply touched by the fact that his disciples were doing this. All right, it really offended him. Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took them in his arms and blessed them. I want you to picture that. Jesus taking these urchins into his arms. Not just a perfunctory kind of, all right, line them up, let me, you know. But he took them into his arms. How long did this moment take? And he blessed them. I think just first of all, in a general way, we need that reminder that the Lord Jesus himself is indignant when children are not welcomed. Indignant when they're not welcomed into the world. Indignant when they're not seen as what they are, as great gifts from God. And there's lots of ways in which I just think we need this reminder. As a culture, how many of you remember as kids the great danger the great apocalypse that was coming was overpopulation of the planet. Everybody remember this? I remember going to a museum somewhere and they had a clock of births, right? And it was just going crazy. And they were talking about how we're going to use all our resources. Y'all realize that is not the danger, right? The danger is cataclysmic population decline. Okay? Japan sells more adult diapers than baby diapers. And I don't have time to go into the economics, but just think what that means for every subsequent generation. Right? You have a larger and larger elderly population and smaller working population taking care of them. So the world needs this moment, right? They need to treasure children, okay? People think they're not having kids to save the environment. I think we need to have kids to save the environment, right? I mean, all right, so I don't want to belabor that point, but does that make sense? We need to get that deep in our bones that children are a deep, deep, deep blessing and gift from God. Okay, so these stages. What's the first stage of Israel's training? The first stage of Israel's training has to do with the priesthood. Right? In the wilderness, immediately after God brings them out of slavery in Egypt, he gives them the priesthood. And what is the priesthood? It's detailed rules. It's a lot of rules. Okay? Don't touch. Think about how much of Leviticus has to do with don't touch or dealing with what you touch. Okay, that's not just an accident. Don't touch. Simple obedience to those rules. Okay? Just straightforward, simple obedience. And I would add immediate consequences for not obeying that. And let me just stop there. So, just to apply it to us, I think in the earliest stages of child training, I don't know, 7 to 10, from birth to 7 to 10 or whatever, this is what we're doing. It is a very structured world, and it is all structured around simple obedience and immediate consequences for disobedience. And I will say, in this stage, the absolute, absolute hardest thing to do is be consistent. That's just the hardest thing. And we need, spouses need one another, and we need our friends to be able to say, Chad, you told her to do that twice, three times before she did it. Okay? You need to realize that the purpose of this stage is to teach trusting obedience. It's not about your reputation as a parent. It's about their soul being formed in the way that God designed it to be formed. A direction, immediate obedience, or immediate consequences. And I don't mean wrathful judgment from on high, but I just mean consequences. Okay? Children are brilliant. They are geniuses at figuring out, ooh, when I do that, that happens, and I don't like that, not going to do that. This doesn't have to be rocket science. But I think the hardest thing about it is, I think this stage is like breaking into orbit. Or at least getting a kid to the place that we have first-time obedience is like breaking into orbit. Because you have to expend so much energy in those early stages. And if you haven't spent that energy, you have to go back and spend that energy. And then when they're in orbit, it's little course corrections, right? You don't need a lot of energy. All right? That was Israel's stage in the wilderness. Think about what God gave them. He gave them all these structures, all these rules, all these places not to go. He gave them in this stage stories, rules, and rituals. All right, stories, rules, and rituals. And think about, you know, some of the rules. Now, and this is where we have to remind ourselves, and this kind of gets into people's philosophy of parenting, but we need to realize no is not a bad word. And in our culture right now, especially, no is a bad word. Just consider, what are some of the rules they were given? The Ten Commandments. Eight of the Ten Commandments say what? No. Right? Eight of the Ten Commandments are prohibitions. Well, okay, that's what they need. Eight of the Ten Commandments are no, and one of the other two commandments that's not a no is honor your father and mother. Right? Think about how much that's going on there. stories. I think during this stage, so again, just if I need to underline it, the main thing is learning to train them in first-time obedience. And putting a lot of energy in that until you get it. With that stage, again, I said stories, rules, and rituals. Stories. Should be lots of stories of the Bible in these days. I mean, you don't have to read the Bible as much to little kids, but you can certainly constantly tell them those stories. And sometimes you don't. In fact, I would encourage you that at this stage, you don't always, you know, sometimes I think we have this idea of Bible stories with kids that we always need to give them the moral of the story. You don't. Just tell them the stories. They're great stories on their own. And they need to hear bunches of them during this stage. And then rituals. I think kids in this stage need routines. Right? Israel had all these rituals. I think that maps onto the routines we give our kids during this stage. Brushing your teeth. Cleaning up, you know, whatever. All bedtime rituals. All those different rituals. Those structures of their lives. So that's the first stage, and I think it maps biblically onto priesthood. Priesthood, the priests were servants learning to follow those ordinances that God gave them. The next stage is kings. Okay, the next stage in Israel's history, they have kings. And in this stage of Israel's history, he gives them a lot more freedom. Okay, they have the baseline of the temple system, but he gives them a lot more freedom. He gives them a lot more room to make decisions. And I think this is probably, as Christian parents in a culture like ours, we don't always tune into, at a certain point, my kids need to have some freedoms that I give to them, some decisions they make for themselves. Again, not with a gun, okay, but with some responsibilities that are real, that are not pretend, that give them the opportunity to learn from those decisions. All right, the kings of Israel, especially David, was learning to conquer and rule the land with wisdom. And I think kids during this age are learning wisdom. And let me address it this way. I think the piece of scripture that maps on to this middling age, let's call it 10 to 16, I don't know, is the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs is about, you know, in the law it said, if you have a house, you have to have a rail on the roof. Okay? And when your kids are young, they don't need to know why they do the things they do. They just obey them. But as they get older, they can learn the principles behind them. Okay? You have to have a rail around your roof. Why? Because it was flat. People could fall off. You don't want to endanger them. At this age, they can begin to abstract from the rule and apply it to a new situation. Does that make sense? Okay, we don't have flat roofs that need rails. But we can learn the principle that, hey, on my property and in stuff that I'm responsible for, I want to make sure people don't get hurt. And that's on me if they get hurt. Does that make sense? So the Proverbs have to do with taking principles they've learned from obedience and applying them to new situations. And again, that's where you give them freedom. Some freedom to experiment and to try things. So it's innovating principles from commands that they've been given. And letting them face consequences when those decisions go awry. And by the way, this is not the same thing as the consequences that we give to smaller children for disobedience. Okay, this is, hey, it cost them money. That's all right. Hey, it cost them their pride. That's okay, right? God didn't save David from the consequences of his sins. He forgave him. But he let him face those consequences. And I think this is where we let our kids face these consequences. All right, so that's kings. The last one is prophets. And if you look, the prophets begin to... This is the interesting thing about Israel. The prophets are above the kings, right? I mean, honestly, they do have to be careful because they can be killed by kings. But they guide kings. And they guide nations. All right, Elijah He anointed the kings of three separate kingdoms. You remember this? He goes to Mount Sinai, and after Mount Sinai, he's not just a king. He ordains three kings. All right, so the idea is there's this progression. The prophets have influence and give guidance to others. All right, they are given responsibility over others. This is about learning to communicate wisdom and learning to walk in wisdom. This is where I think kids can be given more responsibility. Think stages of responsibility. Think, you know, most of our kids we've trusted to have, like, at a certain stage, if a younger one of our kids disobeyed this older kid, we consider them a prophet in their lives, and we would back up their word. Does that make sense? Wouldn't always necessarily have a, you know, 17-year-old spank, although I think we did that sometimes. I don't remember. I certainly would let Audrey spank a 5-year-old that we had. Does that make sense? But the point is, they're in a position to have influence over others and to guide others. So let them take care of younger children. Also in this stage, they're learning to experience God themselves more and more. All right? They're learning to hear from God. They're learning to have these encounters with God that change them. They're being sent out on mission. Right? And again, this, I think, roughly maps onto the late teen years into the 20s. All right, but just to go back and summarize, I think these aren't accidents. I don't think it's an accident that early in Israel's childhood, God gave Israel rules and gave them consequences for the rules and enforced those rules. I don't think it's a coincidence that they move into this period of kingship where they're given responsibility to begin to try to take these responsibilities and operate in them independently, somewhat independently. Okay? So it's this progression of increasing independence, this progression of extending increasing responsibility to them. All right, so just to review, priests, they follow the rules. First time obedience is the name of the game. All right? Kings, they're learning to rule. They're learning to have areas where they bring their independent rule over those areas. Hobbies they want to do, jobs they want to have, areas they're called to bring dominion to, right? And then finally, prophets, where we give them leadership and we give them more and more responsibility. Okay, that's teaching number two. How'd I do? 18 minutes. It's not 26.
Save it up.
All right.